Jai Radha Madhava.
The following is a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 44, given by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded on 22nd of June 2007 in Washington, USA.
Gopi jana bala bhai swara dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Alas, just see the behavior of this cruel man. He is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Being proud of his material opulence and his position, he considers himself God. Just see how he has transgressed the laws of religion. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada King. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has devoted the entire meaning of this verse as spoken by Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni used the word nirsamshasya to indicate that the king was cruel. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur interprets it to mean that the king's character was glorified by all the local people. He says that the word nar means by all the local people, and some shasya means of he Amrish whose character was glorified. Similarly, one is very rich, becomes man of his wealth, and therefore is called Shriya Unmatasya. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur interprets these words to mean that although Maharaj Amrish was such an opulent king, he was not man after money, but he had already surpassed the madness of material opulence. Similarly, the word Isha Manina is interpreted to mean that he was so respectful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he did not transgress the laws for observing Ekadasi Parana, despite the thinking of the Rasa Muni, for he took only water. In this way, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has supported Amrish Maharaj and all his activities. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Shuran Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavestam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamnam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Mitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagat Pate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarvyashta Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnanevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivachari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama
Hare Hare. So as I said earlier, there are three verses prior to this with no purpose, but they have an important meaning. So we'll read text 41, 42, and 43. Best of the Kuru dynasty, after he drank some water, King Amrish, meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, waited for the return of the great mystic, the Rasa Muni. Text 42. After executing the ritualistic ceremonies to be performed at noon, the Rasa returned from the banks of the Yamuna. The king received him well, offering all respects, but the Rasa Muni, by his mystic power, could understand that King Amrish had drunk water without his permission. Text 43. Still hungry, the Rasa Muni, his body trembling, his face curved and his eyebrows crooked in a frown, angrily spoke as follows to King Amrish, who stood before him with folded hands. And now, text 44, that's the verse on the board. Alas, just see the behavior of this cruel man. He is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Being proud of material opulence and his position, he considers himself God. Just see how he has transgressed the laws of religion. So we are reading a very wonderful pastime of Amrish Maharaj, the great devotee of the Lord, who was a king and a devotee at the same time. Therefore, he is called the Raj Rishi, just like Parikshit Maharaj is also addressed as a Raj Rishi. In the Vedic days, the heads of state were not only the heads of state, but they were also devotees of the Lord. And as a result, society was prosperous and peaceful. As the Bhagavad Gita says, whatever great men do, others will follow. So when the leaders are God conscious, the society, the citizens are also God conscious. And the leaders are debauchees, the citizens also follow in their footsteps. So, Amrish Maharaj, as we read, had fasted and he took the advice of the Brahmanas, what should he do in a situation like this, because he had invited the Rasa Muni for prasad and the Rasa Muni had not returned in time. And he consulted the Brahmanas. It is described in these verses, in this chapter, that these Brahmanas were free of material desires. That is explained in the verses, that they were free of material desires. So that is one of the qualities of a Brahmana. One becomes a Brahman on the basis of qualification and not on the basis of birth. Chatur Vanna Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Saha. And these were genuine Brahmanas. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the qualities of a Brahmana are described. Samo Dhammo Tapo Socham Shantir Arjanam Evacha Jnanam Vijnanam Astikam Brahma Karma Subhakajam. A Brahmana should be peaceful. He should have self-control, control over his mind, body. Then he should practice austerity. He should observe purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are described to be the qualities of the Brahmana, as explained in the 42nd verse of the 18th chapter. In prior days, the kings would have as advisors Brahmanas. The kings were Kshatriyas, and they would have Brahmanical advisors. These days also we see the same pattern, that the head of state has advisors, but unfortunately, the advisors are not Brahmanas. The advisors are also debauchees, and therefore the advice they also give is contrary to religious principles. So King Amrish consulted the Brahmanas, but ultimately he made the final decision. So the Vaishnava has full knowledge, and after drinking the water to break his fast, King Amrish, as it is explained in text 41, he meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said early in the earlier verses, Sarve Mana Krishna Padarabindayo. May my mind always meditate at your lotus feet. So King Amrish, he was meditating on the Lord in the heart. So Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as the Paramatma, and the devotee meditates on the Lord in the nectar of devotion. We read about so many rules and regulations for the execution of devotional service. But Rupa Goswami says that the purpose of all these rules and regulations is to bring us to the point that we always remember Krishna and what? Never forget Krishna. That's a goal that we all should work to achieve, that we always remember Krishna and we never forget Krishna. So here the head of state who is meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we as devotees should also take inspiration from King Amrish's example of how he was meditating on the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. Mam me vachi satyam de prati jane priyoshime. Always think of me, bow down to me, become my devotee and offer homage to me. And if you do these four things, Krishna says, you'll come to me without fail. Now, Durvasa Muni was a mystic yogi. Durvasa Muni, one of his various characteristics is that he gets easily pleased and easily displeased. And Durvasa Muni had mystic powers. As it is reported, Durvasa Muni would travel with 10,000 disciples. He would never travel alone. Fortunately, he didn't have to buy any airline tickets. If he had to buy airline tickets, he'd probably... He had mystic powers, so he could travel with the mystic powers. So when Durvasa Muni returned, what did he do? He got very angry. He got very angry at Amrish Maharaj. Actually, as it has been explained by the Acharyas, his anger was not justified because what King Amrish did was nothing wrong. King Amrish had to break his fast before a certain deadline, and drinking water, as it has been explained in the previous purport, is considered breaking fast and not breaking at the same time, isn't it? So, Amrish Maharaj really did not transgress the Vedic etiquette. But the Durvasa Muni was not on the path of pure devotional service. Therefore, he got agitated. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj says, Krishna bhakta niskama atayeva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. Krishna Das Kaviraj is talking about devotees of Krishna. He obviously means the unmotivated devotees. Krishna also has sakam devotees. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does say, seven people come to me on the four conditions. Well, do come to him with motivation also. But one who has knowledge, he recognizes the importance of anyabhilasada suryam jnana karmadi anavratam anukalena krishna silalim bhakti uttama. Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has explained what is the topmost process of devotional service, anyabhilasada sunyam. So, Krishna's Kaviraj is saying, Krishna bhakta niskama. Those who take to the path of devotional service with a selfless motive, they are peaceful. Krishna Bhakti Niskama Atayeva Shanta. Because they have taken to the path of devotional service without motivation, therefore they are peaceful. A devotee who takes the path of devotional service without motivation actually is peaceful in any condition. Honor, dishonor, victory, defeat, loss, gain, heat, cold. Krishna explains in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita called Dhyana Yoga that for one who has controlled his mind, he has achieved tranquility. And to him, honor, dishonor, victory, defeat are all the same. So, Krishna Bhakta Niskama Atayeva Shanta. So those who take to the path of pure devotional service, they are peaceful. In contrast, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakali, ashanta. So in contrast, those who want bhukti, those engaged in fruitive activities, they may be doing religious offerings, etc., but behind that, they have a goal. Actually, Narottama Thakur, he condemns fruitive activities. He says fruitive activities is just like drinking poison from a golden cup. Poison, whether you drink from a clay cup or a golden cup, is going to have the same effect. So, on the path of pure devotional service, fruitive activities are not considered the highest also. Vyasadeva, after having compiled the vast Vedic literature, sitting on the bank of Saraswati, was meditating. Why am I not feeling satisfied? I've compiled this vast literature, summarized it in the Vedanta Sutra, but still he was feeling as if there's something lacking in his contribution. And as he was meditating, he was trying to find out the cause. Narada Muni appeared on the scene and told him that the cause of his dissatisfaction is that he has not exclusively presented the path of unmotivated service, namely pure devotional service. And hence came the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, bhukti, fruitive activities, certainly is better than a pure atheistic or materialistic position, but it's not the highest. Then mukti, those who want liberation, the different types of liberation. And siddhi, they are those who want mystic perfection. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami talks about 8 different types of mystic perfections that you can try and achieve. Anima, Lagimya, Prapti. One of them is a siddhi called Prapti Siddhi. If you have the Prapti Siddhi, sitting in one location, you can stretch your hand anywhere and lift anything you want. Would be good, isn't it? You have Prapti Siddhi. Sitting in a house, you can stretch your hand to all the safe wallets in Switzerland, take out the gold and cash out and bring it here. You could dry up the treasury of all the banks in Washington. You can just stretch your hand, and also you can use it to distribute books. Stretch your hand. So in one location, stretch your hands and you don't have to run around. Anyway, these cities are also not attainable in this age. So, Krishna's Kavira says, mukti, mukti, siddhi, kami. He said, all these individuals are lusty, kami. Hence, sakali, ashanta. Therefore, they are not peaceful. So, Dharasa Muni had mystic powers. But mystic powers don't give you pure devotional service. And because he was not on the path of pure devotional service, when he saw what the Amrish Maharaj has done, actually he should have tolerated it. If he was on the path of pure devotional service, he would just have tolerated it. Queen Kunti tolerated so many inconveniences. Kunti and the Pandavas were banished in the forest. They had to go through so many difficulties. But Queen Kunti never protested. She never said, my dear Lord, why are you putting me in all these difficulties after all I'm your devotee? We see that neophyte devotees if they have to face difficulties, etc., they get very surprised, angry at the Lord. Why did God make this happen to me? What wrong have I done? Because everybody likes to think he does no wrong. That's one of the characteristics of human nature. Everyone always thinks, I'm straightforward, honest, always right. So, Queen Kunti tolerated all the inconveniences and difficulties that she had to go through, and rather, she went on to pray, my dear Lord, please may you increase my calamities, because the more calamities I had to face, the more I meditated at the Lord's feet. And the more I meditated at the Lord's feet, the faster I will again freedom from the cycle of birth and death. So that's the difference between the mentality of a pure devotee and the mentality of someone who is motivated or someone who is not on the path of pure devotional service. So the Rasa Muni, because he had mystic powers, he was able to know that Amrish has already drunk water. It's not that somebody came and told him, the Rasa, Amrish had water, you know that? Nobody had to tell the Rasa that. He had mystic powers. So while bathing, he at once came to know that Amrish has already drunk water. And the Rasa's anger was, he invited me and then he had water. He drank without waiting for me. So the Rasa Muni was very angry. And the verse also described how when the Rasa returned, even though he returned in an angry mood, Amrish was still so respectful to him. The verse describes that the Rasa returned and we came out of his bath, being aware of what Amrish had done. He was in an angry mood. But still Amrish was respectful to him. So this conveys another important message for we devotees, which is that a devotee doesn't believe in tit for tat. You know, mutual philosophy is tit for tat, isn't it? A tooth for a tooth. And in different languages, they have different equivalents. In Russian, it says zuba zub, tooth for a tooth. So tit for tat, you're angry at me, I'm going to get angry at you. So let's see who wins. No, Amrish Maharaj was an exalted Vaishnava. So even though the Rasa Muni came in an angry mood, ready to curse him, he was still very cool. And he offered him all the respect. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends the path of humility and tolerance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed his followers to write volumes of books, but he left behind only 8 verses identified as the Shikshasaka. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. We all step on the grass, isn't it? This is a grasshopper Italian. So the Rasa Muni was in a very angry mood. And then he spoke as follows. What did the Rasa say? He attacked Amrish Maharaj's character. He said, look at the behavior of this cruel man. Amrish Maharaj was innocent. But here he has been accused as a cruel man. He's not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. A blind man thinks everyone's blind. So he attacked him. Being proud of his material opulence in his position, he considers himself God. Just see how he has transgressed the laws of religion. So the Rasa Muni was so angry because Amrish Maharaj invited him as a guest. But instead of feeding the guest first, he ate himself. Of course, this is an etiquette that you normally feed the guest first. If you go to someone's house, the host and hostesses, what do? They first feed the guest. And that should be an important practice. Similarly, applying this law or guideline in our ISKCON temples, we devotees should also have the mentality that we first take care of the guests who come to our temple. Then we eat. Actually, the best devotees are those, or the most advanced, those who eat right in the end. First they want to serve all the guests who come. Sometimes we see that as soon as the lines open up, the devotees are competing with the guests for prasad. And naturally the servers, out of respect, they first give it to the devotees. And the guests usually have to stand in line, wait longer. But looking at the Vedic etiquette, our etiquette should be that we serve the guests first. We let the guests eat prasad. And after we serve the guests, looked after our guests nicely, then we can sit down and take prasad. So Durvasa Muni says, he should have waited for me to eat first. He invited me. So from this we can learn an important lesson from Durvasa Muni's instruction, that when guests come to our Sunday feast and even on other days, we should try our best to give them some prasad, as we said the other day. The highest etiquette is, if every guest who comes, make him sit down and serve him hot prasad. As the Prabhupada said, told us to do that. He would say we should have a running kitchen. And everyone who comes, we should make him sit down and serve him hot prasad. In Tirupati temple, they have a hall where they serve prasad to everyone. I think it's free. Anyone who comes all day, he can go there and get free prasad. So Prabhupada really wanted that in ISKCON temples, especially in the big temples. So the highest is, when a guest comes, you offer him prasad. And if you can't offer him prasad, okay, too expensive, we can't afford it, we don't have so many cooks, etc., then at least offer him water. Water for... Of course, water is also getting more expensive day by day. At one time, water was considered a free commodity. 20 years ago, water was considered a free commodity. But now water also is getting expensive. About 5-6 years ago, one devotee told me in Washington that every time you flush toilet, it costs you 50 cents. I mean, that was about 6-7 years ago, somebody working in the water department. Then the Washington water is so expensive. And drinking water is even more expensive, isn't it? It's all... Very soon it's going to be the price of gasoline, probably. In some countries, it's the price of gasoline. So anyway, offer them water if you can. But if you can't offer them water, what can you offer them? Sweet words of welcome. That don't cost any money, do they? That probably costs more than water and food in a way. But that requires humility. That requires a humble culture. To offer people sweet words of welcome, you really need a humble culture, isn't it? You offer everyone sweet words of welcome, regardless of whether he's rich or poor, regardless of he's handsome or ugly. So, if you can't offer them even water, offer them sweet words of welcome and a mat to sit on. You have plenty of mats in the temple, I see that for sure. So they don't have to handle guests except on the Sunday feast, probably. You may not have enough mats for everyone. So anyway, so here we see that Durvasa Muni is attacking Ambarish Maharaja's character. He has found fault with many of them. And then Durvasa Muni, in an angry mood, he came to the realization, I must teach this Ambarish a lesson. I should teach him a lesson. How dare he be disrespectful to an exalted mystic yogi like myself. But he was a powerful mystic yogi. So he produced from his sika, he took a bunch of hair from his head, probably from his sika. It is said that these mystic yogis keep their power in their sika. Because there's a nice story. During Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, there was a bogus yogi in Orissa who was acting like Vishnu. This bogus yogi was flirting with people's wives, daughters, sisters, mothers, and many people complained to the British government that this bogus yogi is committing this fraud. But many people were worshipping him as Lord Vishnu, as incarnation of Vishnu. So the British government gave this complaint to Thakur Bhaktivinoda, who was the district magistrate at that time. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, knew this man as Lord Vishnu. So he proceeded with his police force to the jungle where this mystic yogi was residing. When Thakur Bhaktivinoda arrived at his house, the mystic yogi said, "Kedarnath Datta," this was Thakur Bhaktivinoda's material name, "I know why you've come here. You've come here to arrest me, but you don't know who I am. I am Lord Vishnu, and when I drive the Britishers out of India, I'll make you the Viceroy of India." Viceroy means the head of the country. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "If you're the head, if you're Vishnu, what are you doing in this forest? You should be residing in the Jagannath temple. That's where Vishnu resides." So he said, that is just a statue of wood. That is not God." So when he said that, Thakur Bhaktivinoda ordered his policemen to get him arrested. Anyway, he was arrested and brought to Puri for a trial. And when he was brought to Puri for his trial, his followers would come and protest in front of the court, "Release, release, release our guru, release God." And Lord Thakur Bhaktivinoda refused to budge. All his family members fell sick. And all, wife, children. And the whole town started saying, "Because Thakur Bhaktivinoda has committed an offense in imprisoning Lord Vishnu, this is the punishment." And everyone was pleading with him to release him, but he was totally unmoved. Then the trial went on. And one day when the trial, when the poster was being taken out of the court, there was a British barrister there who had read that these mystic yogis get their mystic power from their hair, from their sikha. So he came from behind with scissors, cut his sikha. And as soon as he cut his sikha, the mystic yogi committed suicide. He died. So here we see that, I'm not comparing him to the Rasa Muni, but I'm just making a point that imposter had mystic powers, and the common belief was that the mystic power is being, they get their strength through their seeker, which is like their antenna. So here we see that the Rasa Muni, he also, what do? He uprooted a bunch of hair from his head. And from that hair, he created a demon resembling the blazing fire of devastation, hoping to destroy Amrish Maharaj. But Amrish Maharaj was totally unmoved. Now he saw this fearful demon ready to strike. He was unmoved. And he continued to meditate at the lotus feet of the Lord. And because he continued to meditate at the lotus feet of the Lord, ultimately the Lord came to his protection. Anyway, you're going to read that story in the verses to follow. So, the Rasa Muni here is criticizing the character of Amrish Maharaj. It's not uncommon even in today's society to see the non-devotees tend to criticize the devotees, isn't it? Even though devotees are very peace-loving people, they really don't harm anyone. The only thing they really do is go on the streets and chant Harinam. Still they say, "You're creating a disturbance. You're creating so much disturbance. You're making so much noise." When Prabhupada was trying to establish the Hare Krishna temple in Juhu, Bombay, at that time there were some corrupt politicians in power. So when we applied for permission, they rejected it. They said, no, they're creating too much disturbance. Sometimes they accuse us. Your temples are creating heavy traffic jams. In Bhaktivedanta Manor, England, they had a big case for many years. And one of the big allegations was, the temple's creating a big traffic jam. So our cars can't move. So they were trying to close the manor down for many years. Then they fought a big struggle, and they finally won. But they had to make certain adjustments. So that's the nature of devotees, to non-devotees, to find fault with devotees. Prabhupada says in the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has offered his interpretation of this, of this verse, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has supported the activity executed by Amrish Maharaj, and he has, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that Amrish Maharaj, even though he was an opulent king, he was completely detached, like a lotus leaf within water, but not touched by the water. It's not, generally, if a man has money, if one is very handsome, if one is very educated, then he tends to become proud, isn't it? But Amrish Maharaj, though he was so rich, he was not at all proud, and he was not at all attached to his wealth. Just like the King Bharat ruled over the early planet, but after ruling over, he withdrew to the forest to practice meditation. So Amrish Maharaj was not attached to money. He had surpassed the madness of material opulence, and he was very respectful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he did not violate the Ekadasi Prana, despite the thinking of the Rasa. In other words, the Rasa's accusations are totally false, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has confirmed that. So we're reading this very nice pastime of Amrish Maharaj, and in the verses to follow, we will read how the Supreme Personality of Godhead came to Amrish's rescue. Hare Krishna.